This is an ABC podcast.
I call the wind beneath my wing. Oh. I'm always want to have for advice. How do I do this? Okay, I have this money. How should I spend it? I've got these three things. What should I do now? So I think she's been my guide ever since. She's been my backbone. She's basically my advice and my go-to. So I'm very grateful for her.
It's been almost 30 years since Lisa Linibi won the Miss Papua New Guinea Beauty Pageant. But this pageant is more than a beauty contest. It's an opportunity for women to build their leadership skills and give back to the community. Lisa has gone on to have a successful career in business and entrepreneurship. And she's achieved all this as a single mother, which is not easy. But Lisa says her parents have been a big support every step of the way, especially her mom, Maria Linibi. It has inspired her to do the same for her daughters, Cortniela and Lovenka. Hello, I'm Hilda Wayne, and it's so wonderful to be back on Sisters Let's Talk. Sisters, let's talk about how parents can support their children to achieve their goals and blossom. You were the second woman from PNG Highlands to win the Miss PNG crown. What was that like for you back in those days? How did your family support you?
Oh, yes. It was, how many years ago is that? That's 1997 was the year I won the pageant for the Miss PNG quest. So that was best basically, I'm doing the calculation here. 28 years.
Oh, wow. What a journey.
28 years. Yes, it has been a very enlightening journey for me. At the age of, I was actually 18 when I entered the quest, well, 19, straight from the village. I had no idea about fashion, no idea about the pageant, absolutely just straight from the village. So I think I actually was working with an accounting firm back then. It was the Coopers and Lybrand, now PricewaterhouseCoopers. And there was this Australian lady that she actually later on became my chaperone. She asked me, she approached me and said, would you like to take part in the Miss PNG quest? I just said yes, because I was excited as a young girl. I was excited. I wanted to explore. I had a dream to be someone, to grow, to just find a good life. So I thought maybe I should just try that as well. It could be an educational platform for me to actually grow in that. So I took on that opportunity. And not only that, I think it came with the association with Red Cross, Papua New Guinea Red Cross. And then it was to do with the humanitarian support. And I find that kind of interesting and I wanted to learn more. So that was part of the reason why I actually got into the quest. The journey in itself, well, it's, like I said, very enlightening. It was very educational for me. It brought me out of my shell. The only place I knew I could stand and talk in public was in the church. And I had absolutely no experience whatsoever to actually do public speaking, speak on behalf of my sponsor, talk about the Red Cross and those and all the activities that came with it. So for me, it was educational. I had a lot of support from especially my friends, the company that I work for, and my family, most importantly. Obviously, without them, I wouldn't, you know, move on or just achieve the things I've achieved. So I owe it to them.
I mean, kudos to you, Lisa. Back then, 18 years old and having that strong will, determination, and then to, you know, break out of that shell that you had, the self-confidence. And I'll add that you were absolutely beautiful back then. So it was just wonderful to see you as a, you know, Highlands woman myself, to see you excel and just go up there and represent all of us. Well done. And you mentioned your parents. Tell us about your parents and how they raised you as a young woman and to have the courage, like we said, to contest. Where did you get your strength from?
Basically, two people, mom and dad. Well, we came from a Christian background, so they were very firm in spiritual, you know, standing in church. Dad basically at the leading hand in church. Mom supported her. And they were both also retired public servants. So they were in the village and basically doing farming. So their activity in church, participation in church and the community activities around farming basically helped me to understand or appreciate, you know, growing up, both the spiritual side of things and having to participate in community activities and appreciating the small things in life. And that basically were the foundation of having to be the person I am.
And absolute.
So that play a lot. They have contributed a lot to me being who I am and the way I understand and approach life.
Good on you. And what are some values taught to you by your parents and how did they support you?
I think most importantly was the spiritual upbringing, having goals in life, appreciating the small things. Mom and Dad were in the towns and cities, so they obviously were working. And we were living in free power, you know, water, electricity, everything provided for. And when we came home to the village, it was like we were starting from ground zero, basically. So I think it was a blessing in itself that we had to, you know, have that both lifestyle. So we appreciate life and we appreciate the small things growing up. It was a blessing in disguise that we had that situation to grow up in. So that basically formed most of what I stand on and what I appreciate as a child growing up and being able to make the decisions I have made in life.
Now, fast forward in life and this journey that you've traveled, you're a mom yourself now. You've got two gorgeous daughters, beautiful daughters. I follow you on Facebook, so they are beautiful daughters. Do you try to raise them to be independent women as well?
Thank you. Yes. Every breath, every fiber of my being, I try my best as I'm a single parent. I try my best to teach them exactly what I know. My parents have been very instrumental, very supportive in helping me with just basically the start of it all with my children. And so the girls have actually got the support from their grandparents, plus myself, with the upbringing that Mom and Dad has taught me. And they've actually grown up in a home that's giving them the support to be able to achieve their own goals in life. So the support has come from my folks, and I'd like to be able to say that I have actually been able to do something as a parent, being a single parent, but delivering as both mom and dad for my daughters.
Amazing. And your daughters, Courtney Ellen and Lovenka, what are some important mom-daughter conversations you have with your beautiful daughters?
The mom-daughter conversation we have is, it's changed over time, I must say. You know, there's different stages. The different stages when they were small.
Yeah,
and then beautiful. I could dictate to them. And then came to an age where they were like rivalry, you know, okay, this is what I think. And then teenagers, that phase. And then now is the most important one because I'm enjoying this one. I am so grateful that I did what I did back then. I have these five principles as a single parent. I say the basic kit for single parenting. So it's just having a budget, plan ahead, prioritize, have goals, support, that sort of thing. So it's amazing that the conversation we have now is they basically turning around and guiding him. No, mom, I think this we should do it like this and for these reasons.
Wow, so that's beautiful.
So I go off track sometimes and they pull me back, say, no, mom, it's like this. And I'm like, wow, okay, I didn't see it like that. So that's the kind of conversation. It's a friend. It's like we talk like friends, girlfriends. We're having a girlfriend conversation. So I really appreciate the friendship. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, the different stages, you can see now I could take a step back and see the different stages that have come. So the one important thing for me is having in the surrounding and the society we live in, I'm happy that I was able to encourage them to speak their minds, to stand for themselves, and to have an open discussion on topic that interests them. So that basically set the platform for them to be able to, you know, communicate now at this age with me openly, frankly, and having a mind of their own.
That's wonderful. Very important. And what are they doing now?
Cotniela, my firstborn, she's graduated with a law degree. That's 2023. She's just completed her studies. And Lovenka, she's actually doing a final year in business at UPNG, so graduating next year.
Well done, Mama. Do you think it is important to be supportive of daughters as well as sons, especially in the island's culture where it's patriarchal?
I think perspective has changed now. I believe you can see the trend. It's changing now. And a lot more girls have actually been given the support to actually, you know, get the right education, the proper education, give them that fair, you know, share of, you know, give them the rights to actually be educated as well. So I think you can say that the perspective has changed and most girls actually, you know their rights to education.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
Lisa, you've worked in the corporate, you know, sector, holding senior positions, being a single mom, running your own small business. Did you ever imagine how, you know, life would turn out this way for you as a, you know, back then 18-year-old shy girl breaking into the pageant, being crowned Miss PNG? What was that like for you, looking back?
Funny you ask this question, because I was actually thinking about this since January, especially now that I'm paying the last school fee for my youngest one. And it's like, oh, I'm, you know, wiping the sweat off. It's like, oh, finally, we've come to the end of the road. So, yeah, working in corporate organizations, I think I would say that I was blessed to be working with, you know, the likes of, you know, BAT, Coopers and Lybrand, BAT, Coca-Cola, Goodman Fielder. Those were contributing employers in my career that actually were very helpful in providing for me that I can be able to, you know, take care of my children. So I count them as blessings. And it's the roles that I've actually chosen in the corporate world, there's so many employers I've worked for. I could now look back and say that it's been a gradual climb and it's all been a very good experience. And today I can say that I'm sitting at the position where we've actually, in a way, I'd like to say that I've given my bit as well to end this. So it's been a great journey.
Wonderful journey indeed. And to your daughters, with you know, what you've gone through in life, do you hope that they also excel in whatever they do?
I'd like to say that I should be a perfect example of what they should live and what they should not live for. Importantly, there are mistakes I made. I'd like them to actually be looking at my mistakes and learning from it, which are the things that we discuss very openly and they know very well. They know what to do, what not to do. And the things that I've actually done, I'm able to share with them. They've actually been with me in the journey and they've seen it. And I think they've been part of it all along. They've taken part with me. I have to say, you know, kudos to them. I draw my strength from them as well. So it's been a good journey and I'm pretty sure that what I have done, they'll be able to see that and learn from. And I hope it's definitely going to be a blessing whichever way.
Good on you, Mama. And what is your advice to single moms out there who may be facing challenges and who are almost thinking of giving up on life?
Based on my experience, I'll say this, like I previously mentioned, I have a basic kit for single parenting. I always go back to that every time. For single mamas out there, regardless of what your status is, whatever, how much you earn, always have a budget. Always live within your means. That's very important because that's one thing I've actually had to do in order for me to be able to make ends meet for my kids. Be very handy. Know everything, all things. When I say handy, know how to change a tire, change a light bulb, refill your gas, those sort of things. We are islanders. Abundance of good food, healthy food is all around us. Know our shortcuts. so that we actually be able to live within our means, provide good, nutritious food and appetizing meals for our kids so they're content and they're not complaining to us for an expensive option. That way we live within our budget. And I'd also say that we need to plan ahead. I always have plan B. You cannot depend on others, that's for sure, especially when it comes to school fees. Save up. If it means to have multiple income streams, second income, third income stream, do that. Prioritize their kids' well-being is very important over anything else. Their association is in your control. So security of the mindset is important as they're growing up. And always have goals for yourself and kids. And my advice to single parents would be educate and encourage them to have goals as well. Do a vision board at home. Pin pictures on the walls of their dreams and what they want to be. So they grow with it and work towards it. Have a timeline, so that you have your age there, their age there, their long-term plans, your short-term plans, theirs as well. So you look at it and it shows you where you're going in the next 5 years. So you work as a team. Even if dad is not around, you know that you've got each other. And most importantly, support. They have little dreams. Support them in every way. We are their biggest cheerleaders. And never speak bad of the other parent. Always keep a balanced perspective and teach them to appreciate the small things in life. So, and others as well. So when they grow, they have an identity. They know how to appreciate other people. There's a sense of respect. Teach them about God, especially spare them in a spiritual upbringing so they appreciate and also know that there's a source of everything in life. And the one important thing is that in island society, when we say introvert and extrovert, we say, you've got to be an extrovert. You come out there, talk, go openly, go out, meet people. But the one thing I learned is that if you have a kid that is an introvert, it's a blessing in both. Let them grow through it. Eventually, you will realize that being an introvert was a blessing all along. And that's what I found from two of my girls. One was an introvert, the other was an extrovert. And it was a blessing in both, sorry. So, yeah, that would be my single kid, basic kid experience and sharing for single parenting.
So you mentioned changing your tires, but there's one thing that I follow on Facebook, and you are a really, really great baker. Tell us about your the amazing cakes that you bake. Tell us about that story. How did that start?
Okay, thank you for asking that. This is actually a passion for me. So growing up, how I said mom and dad had to leave work and their jobs in public service and they had to come home to the village. So being the eldest in the family, I had to allow mom and dad to look after my other three siblings, the younger ones. I had to fend for myself. So I started baking. So I got, because we were in the village, no power whatsoever. So I had my dad build for me a drum oven. So I'd collect firewood and bake in that drum oven.
That's amazing.
So I went to an high school that we had night studies. So in the night, kids had like dinner at around 5 and 6. So come on, after 8 o'clock in the night, they're like, the dinner is not enough to hold them. They're energetic teenagers. They run around, so they need food. They want to eat again. So I saw that was an option, a way, chance to make money. So I started baking, and because given that I was a day student and the school was just a few meters away from me, I'd bake in the afternoon and take it to the night studies. So after 8 o'clock, and 8 o'clock in the night, and I'd stand underneath a coconut tree and call out to my classmates, scones on sale, scones on sale. I'd sell it for 20 toya.
Oh.
So I started baking then, and then dad started encouraging me to actually, do bake. You're making good money. So he bought me, the ingredients, the flour, the oil, eggs, whatsoever to do. And then I starting from just normal scone to English scones, and then, it went on from there. And I actually paid my own school fees doing that, amazingly. And from then, after that, I went on, started working, and then got into you know, Miss PNG had kids, and I did not actually went into full-time doing baking until I realized that I had to do another income stream to support me being a single parent at that stage. That's when I said, somebody told me, use your gift, your passion, whatever it is that you have, and make money. And that's when I said, okay, maybe I should try baking again. So I tried baking again, and now I run a small mini bakery at home. I do cakes for special occasions, wedding cakes. So that's where the journey started. That's how I started. And this is what I do today. I do corporate themed cakes and, yeah, wedding cakes and all that.
The cakes are so beautiful in what you do, and you are just amazing, an amazing woman, and of course, amazing example, great example for your daughters as well.
It's thing they've actually helped me along as well. They are my testers or tasters. They basically, when I do a new recipe, say, okay, we'll be the critics. So they give me they're very honest with their critics, and that's some of the recipes.
They're the best critics, of course. do they help you bake as well?
They help bake as well. It's the little one that helps bakes. The big ones, she just does the, you know, critics, and that's it. So we play, everyone has their own role in the kitchen when it comes to baking.
And I understand that's a side hustle, the baking.
Yes, yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's provided a lot. So when I say multiple income streams as a single parent, that was what I did as well. Apart from other stuff, like I'd sell dinner money, to raise, you know, extra income. No, just fortnights alone is not enough. You need to pay packet to actually facilitate the school fees and the expenses when it comes to, you know, being a single parent.
Good on you. And look at where it's brought your beautiful girls. Career, your young woman now. And how's your mom doing? I'm pretty sure she's the constant voice of advice with everything that you do.
Yes, I call her the wind beneath my wing. Oh. I'm always run to her for advice. How do I do this? Okay, I have this money. How should I spend it? I've got these three things. What should I do now? So I think she's been my guide ever since. And yeah, she's been my backbone. She's basically my advisor, my go-to. So I'm very grateful for her.
And she's also a Papua New Guinea women leader as well. Tell us a bit about your mom.
Mom, she's an advocate in terms of women in agriculture and youth in agriculture. She's basically helped women farmers provide the technical support, working with NGOs, donors, you know, to bring viable options to farmers on how to bring their goods, how to farm, how to grow the different varieties, based on, you know, the climate change, whatever adaptation they need to do. So she's basically been very vocal on that front and helping youth and mothers in terms of farming.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. And then we have to mention Mom as well. Mom is Maria Linibi.
Yes, Mom is Maria Linibi.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for all your words of wisdom and advice. Oh, thank you so much for sharing openly with us and our listeners.
I appreciate your time as well. I appreciate this session. It was a good thing. I hope that this will be a blessing to others as well.
That's Lisa Linibi, businesswoman and former winner of the Miss Papua New Guinea Red Cross Beauty Pageant. Lisa and her parents are a great example of how we can raise our children to be confident in themselves and be resourceful members of our community and achieve their goals. Thank you for joining me, Hilda Wen, for Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia, a weekly show by Pacific Islands Women for Pacific Islands Women, where we get together to talk about the issues that are important to us. I'm filling in for the wonderful Natasha Metten. If you've missed an episode of the show, catch up on our podcast. Just search for Sisters Let's Talk wherever you get your podcast, or key us into your favorite search engine. Sisters Let's Talk is presented and produced by Natasha Metten and myself, Hilda Wayne. Our supervising producer is Rachel Bongiono, and Faleang Afulu, Inga Stunsna, is our executive producer. Sisters Let's Talk is produced on Darumpul, Yagara Turrbal, and the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present.
Thank you.